A reading from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love. Be in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who thought he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, and being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself, and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him, and gave him the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure.
Well, sometimes you get a chance to hear in Scripture the exact thing that you need to hear, the thing that you've been struggling with, the answer to the great questions. And this has been the case for me this past week with this passage from Philippians. For me, it's like an answer came and hit me between the eyes, and I wonder why I had never really heard it before. And generally, if you're like me, when you're struggling with something in life and you read Scripture or you hear something from a spiritual source, it's not necessarily terribly deep or profound. Usually it's just common sense. And you wonder why you couldn't hear it or absorb it in the past. Definitely the case for me in this passage from Philippians. Now, in this service, we generally do one of the readings just to sort of shorten the time. And I want to say just a brief thing about the gospel that we didn't read today. In the gospel, though, Jesus is confronted by the top leaders of the synagogue in the temple right after he's turned over all the money-changing tables. You know that story where he comes in and he calls everyone there, "You thieves." This is a den of robbers. And quite frankly, all of those chief leaders hate him at this point. And so they come to him trying to trick him. And they say, "By whose authority are you doing all of this?" And Jesus just looks at him and says, "You're not going to listen to me. You're not going to listen." So he asks them a question that they refuse to answer. Therefore, he won't answer them because he knows you're not going to listen. You've already decided what you're going to do. But then Jesus in that gospel turns around and speaks to us today in the form of a parable. And Jesus says, a man had two sons, and he told the one to go out in the field and work. And one said, "Yes, I'll do it," but didn't go. And the other one said, "No, I'm not going to go," but went anyway. Who did the will of the father? And the chief priest had to say, well, it was the one who went and did what was told to do. And so Jesus looks out to us through that parable and said, are you going to do what I tell you to do, or are you not? You who agree with, you who profess that my authority, Jesus says, comes from God, will you do what I ask or no? It gives us a good backdrop as we look at this passage from Philippians today. In Philippians today, and thank to Larissa for reading that for us, Paul uses an ancient hymn. It's called the Christ hymn. You could call it the emptying hymn. Oh, looks like that. Ready to go. Here we go. Perfect. Where Christ Christ empties himself, taking on the form of a slave, giving over completely his will, becoming entirely receptive to God's divine will. And Paul uses this ancient hymn to point out that aspect of Christ that Jesus chose to empty himself, to let it all go. Now, I love this hymn. It is really, this passage, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. And so I've read it before, I've preached on it before, but you know, I heard it in a different way this time. I've always loved this passage, because of course Christ emptying himself is so diametrically opposed to how we live as humans, right? It goes against our human need for survival, our desire to be in charge or on top of things. Because this is how we see the world, right? The eternal ladder that goes up to who knows where, right? It never, ever ends, okay? Unfortunately, reminds me immediately of junior high. Whew, what a hard time. Walking into a room and immediately assessing who to befriend, who to avoid. Who had the power to give me that elusive place on a higher rung of popularity, and who would hurt those chances? Really, a horrible time in life for myself, and our amends I had to make. We laugh, but it's true. It's a really, really tough time. Because, of course, for me, it was like, who did I have to kiss up to get a rung higher? And thanks be to God, I had the ability to make amends for my behavior in that time in life. But this is how we see the world, right? Someone's above us three, someone's below us two. Whatever those rungs may be, it could be my memories of popularity, it could be status, it could be education, it could be economic, it could be even how kind or giving we are, anything that shows us or makes us think we're above some and below others, and God forbid you're on the same rung as someone else, right? Quickly decide who's going to be up and who's going to be down. So I thought I was very, very clever in the past when I would read this passage from Philippians and in my mind construct this idea and think of Jesus at the tippy-tippy top of that ladder. You see, can't even tell where it goes. Jesus then coming down that ladder rung by rung. This is how I read this passage. Jesus coming down step by step by step. Okay, Caesar, move out of the way. I'm going down more rungs. Chief priests, move out of the way. I'm going down more. Oh, you working class people, yep, I know it's hard for you, but I'm going to keep going lower and lower. Jesus, rung after rung after rung. Oh, you, the prostitutes, tax collectors, I'm going down below you till finally he gets to the point of a slave. And there, Jesus gets off the ladder. That's how I understood this passage in Scripture. But just this week, I'm so bright. Just this week, I finally understand that in Christ, in reality, there is no ladder. This is all a human construct. Every last bit of it. Us deciding who is above and who is below. This does not exist in Christ, in our reality. Seriously. This is what does exist. All of us on equal footing around the cross. Everyone with a direct connection to Christ. To God. Every single one of us. And the only identity that matters is beloved child of God. That's it. It's who you are. Directly connected to Christ who comes and in center of who we are. And this image, this reality is what God is calling us to live out day in and day out. Let go of the ladder. This is our reality. We had our Bible study in the book of Romans earlier this week. I know James will be reading one today. And for us, as we looked in an overview of Romans, we came to see that sin is not so much a thing we do, right? Not an action necessarily. But the great sin, definitely in the book of Romans, is self-righteousness as opposed to God's righteousness. Self-righteousness that puts us in any place at all that brings the wrongs back. That I've gotten this place, I've claimed it, I own it, I'm the one who now has achieved this rung up. Self-righteousness is a great fault. If this becomes our main motivation, each of us is beloved child of God. That ladder does not exist. We are all on equal footing. Well, then that drives us out into the world, doesn't it? To begin to look around us and see the world from this point of view. And it's pretty hard to do, I gotta say. We've always had that ladder idea in our head. But if we want this to be our main approach to life, then we can echo what Paul also said to this church in Philippi. He said, come on. It almost sounds like he's exasperated when I read this. I love it. He says, if there's any encouragement, if there's any consolation, if there's any sharing of the Spirit, you can almost be, oh, please, God, let there be this. Come on, folks, get with it. But the truth is, there's another way to read that passage from the Greek. Not so much, come on folks, get with it, but more of that. Because of what Christ has done, there is encouragement in Christ. There is consolation in love. There is sharing of the Spirit. There is compassion. There is sympathy. The ability to even see the world as all equal, all around the cross. That ability also comes from God. And so we do go out in the world, trusting that there is that encouragement, that ability to see the world in a different way, and we begin to interact with those around us. Some of us had the opportunity this past week to go to the Interfaith Annual Meeting, Interfaith Community Services. Here in North County, that's one of our largest community service agencies. And we've been a part of it for more than 20 years now in this area. We've been giving, in fact, the food going out today, that will go to the Oceanside Interfaith office. And we contribute financially, we contribute with volunteer hours, we contribute with gifts in kind. I know many people here have done that. It's wonderful. So it's really, really great to go to this annual meeting and realize that as we step out into the world, trying to see people as beloved child of God and not more than that, just, you know, as that. As we step out into the world, there are places that do treat people like that. They do have that spiritual way of life as their main motivation, and Interfaith is one of these places. So we went to this annual meeting and we had a chance to hear some of the stories of people who had been treated as beloved children of God. This is Cynthia and Fernando. They stood up and they told their story. They'd both been injured, both just a month or so apart, work-related injury. And both of them found themselves unable to work. And for whatever reason, the disability did not come in, and so they were struggling. And soon lost their apartment, and shortly after that, they lost their car. And they and their two daughters were living in a hotel until they came back one day and found their bags outside the hotel, being told they must leave. And in that state, in that place, Cynthia saw a message or a notice about Interfaith. She'd not heard of it before. And she gave them a call, and she and her family were able to start receiving some of the services that they give. It took a while, and they had to avail themselves to many of the things that were offered, But now she and her husband and their two kids are in permanent housing in Ramona. And their kids went from struggling in school because of the great instability in their life to thriving. It was so good to hear their stories. But we realize, too, that in sometimes in some places we get to hear these stories where we see other people treat people as beloved children of God. And sometimes as we step out into the world, we realize that that's not the way the most of the world sees it. I'm really grateful to everyone who was able to come last week to our adult forum. And, of course, it takes place at the same time as this service. I'm sorry about that. But last week we did have speakers coming to us from the North County Immigration Task Force to talk about the state of immigration today. I'm grateful for this congregation to support the work of the task force as we align ourselves and try to be aware and alert and compassionate towards all who are refugees and immigrants. I'm very grateful for the stance of this congregation. But you know, as we step out into the world and as we try to live this way, sometimes living and treating people and realizing when we do and we do not treat people as beloved children of God, sometimes it gets personal and sometimes it gets messy. I went to the Interfaith Board meeting this last week as well. And we started to have a heart-to-heart conversation about what it is like in our world today for people of color, for people who are targeted or profiled because of the color of their skin or their nation of origin. And I feel like it was for the first time I really understood how much I buy into the latter idea. That I presume and assume that a certain amount of privilege should come because of the color of my skin. I never saw that myself before. But as we were sitting around the table and we were talking at a very deep level about what it's like, what racism or prejudices are going on in our world today, I could see myself in a new light. I wouldn't say for myself so much that I will treat someone different if they are of a darker color of skin, but I will say for myself, and I confess this, but I want to be seen as a person who's there to bring the help. I want to be the one who comes with the answer, with the money, with the contribution, not the one who receives. And I did not like seeing this part of myself. As we were sitting and talking around the table, it got a little heated. It got a little passionate. Because these are people's lives that are at stake, or their livelihood here in this nation. And so one woman spoke up. She said, the woman whose country of origin is Mexico. She said, I don't know about all of you, and I'm sorry if talking about race makes you uncomfortable, but every single day, race and issues of racism are in my face. I think about it night and day. I wish I did not have to, but this is my reality. And now, regardless of what you choose to do, she said, I must do everything I can in my power to help those who, like me, are in desperate times. Thanks be to God, I feel like I heard that for maybe the first time. I have to confess how incredibly hard it is for me to step into her shoes like Christ stepped into ours, identifying himself completely with those who have no voice, those who have been forgotten, overlooked, or dismissed, or called illegal because of the color of their skin, their gender, orientation, country of origin, or religion. I know that because of the color of my skin, I have not suffered as others have suffered, and yet Christ calls me to identify with all. My friends, of course, this issue is alive and well in our world today, in our nation today. And I think it's incredibly important that we take this next picture to heart. When our Lord and Savior walked this earth, the one we say is our Master, our God, the one that we have allegiance to, the one whose authority we do not question as coming from God, when he walked the earth, forensic anthropologists believe he looked like this. No blue eyes, no blonde hair. And we know for sure that when the Roman soldiers came on the night of his arrest, they couldn't pick him out of a crowd, right? They had to have Judas come and identify Jesus because he looked like everyone else. And I think as we look at our world today, and we think about our world today, first of all, we have to claim and understand that if we hold on to white privilege in any way, shape, or form, that has no place in Christianity. It's a foreign construct, just like the ladder. It does not exist. Most likely, this is what Jesus looked like when he walked the face of the earth. Now, I don't know what those rungs of the ladder are for you. It could be power or status. It could be beauty. It could be economic. Education, popularity. They can even be, as I said before, who gave the most, who's the most generous, who's the kindest, whatever it is. I hope that we can begin to take to heart that the ladder does not exist. And the only identity that matters is beloved child of God, extended to all. Amen.